Come on.
Hello, dear listener. Before we get into today's show, quick ask. If you find value in today's show or you've gotten value out of a previous show, please leave us a quick 5-star review. Be super grateful. Thanks a lot. Colleen Riley is Senior Vice President of Business Development at Immersive World. She's an adjunct faculty member at the University of Denver, and she's a thought leader in the world of well-being. And now finally, on Money Savage Maximize. Welcome, Colleen.
Well, good morning. Nice to be here.
Yeah, excited to be talking with you. Colleen, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, great. Happy to do so. Actually, my personal life and my work life are all integrated. I am very focused on well-being. And when I say well-being, it's both personal, professional, financial, and physical. And so personally, I've taught exercise classes, yoga classes for over 20 years, ran 7 marathons, practiced mindfulness and meditation. I live with my husband and my 3 kids, dog and a cat, in beautiful Colorado.
Nice.
And love to ski. And so I have parlayed all of that love for health and well-being and thriving into my work. And so for the last 22 years, I have focused on corporate well-being and really focusing on how to help people thrive and not just survive. So that's come in a lot of different ways, working at Coors Brewing Company, in the early 2000s, to working at Mayo Clinic when they were the first e-health platform, and consulting with their Fortune 50 clients, and then back to the employer side at an organization called Nelnet based in Nebraska, and spent some time there integrating their healthcare plan design with their well-being program and truly creating this culture of well-being, which was really exciting because we transformed the culture. And if anybody knows anything about, you know, changing a culture, it takes time, anywhere from 3 to 7 years. So this is not a quick fix. We had some wild success, and I was able to take that model and create a company called Total Wellbeing, which was a consulting company, and then work with companies like Chipotle, Coors, the whole state of Arizona, and even Keurig Green Mountain. I always like to joke and say, if I could have been paid in kind, I would have been happy. Beers, burritos, and education. But I was lucky enough. I sold the company to Telligen, which is a disease management company. They wanted to get into having the full suite of solutions, right, from prevention to at-risk to disease management to condition management. And then I took a bit of a break to figure out, you know, what did I want to do to really continue to make a difference? And that's when I realized wanted to give back, and started teaching at the university. I teach the 4th Industrial Revolution, which is, you know, a class around the 6 major technologies that are changing and shaping our world. But what's so exciting about it is I have dovetailed that, and I'm working with Immersive World. We are building a virtual world platform to bring to healthcare and well-being. And why this is so pivotal and so exciting and maybe interesting for the audience to learn about is we know right now we're probably the most obese, most self-medicated, most stressed out adult cohort in history. And although we've been, you know, focusing on corporate well-being and talking about well-being in daily life, nothing seems to make a sustainable difference. And so how can we start to harness some of this new technology that can bring us together, especially during COVID, because we know how important connection is. And one of the really cool things with this technology is when you go into this virtual world, you create your avatar. And they did some studies at the Stanford Usability Lab and found out that when you watch your avatar, it starts to boost your self-confidence and self-efficacy. and you start to gain that confidence that you can make these behavior change in your life. And so we're working on bringing that to market to start to expand the programming and the ability to truly connect with people and have them out in the virtual world with each other, talking and making health and well-being improvements. So that's what I'm working on right now, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that sounds equal parts fascinating and amazing. Nice. Wow. So from getting to actually think about and theorize about it to working with some of the biggest organizations in the country in actual practice, and now thinking and teaching about it and trying to harness technology, that's super cool and super exciting. So tell me more about this virtual world. Is this something that I'm in periodically through the day, or am I jacking into the matrix full time?
Right. No. So I'm going to talk about two things that I think are super important. First, I'll talk a little bit about the technology.
Okay.
And then second, I want to talk about, although this technology is so powerful, it's still really important to focus from an employee, an employer perspective, focus on the culture, right? And focus on your people mm-hmm. as individuals. And I don't want to lose that. Technology is so powerful, but the human connection is equally or even sometimes more powerful. And so I want to talk about that as well. But to talk about the virtual world, it's pretty fascinating because we are just building this virtual world. There's been some studies through University of Kansas, like I said, the Stanford Usability Lab and Illinois that has shown in some testing with type 2 diabetes patients, those that were in the face-to-face lost weight, but those that were in this virtual world not only lost weight but sustained the weight loss, which we all know is harder, but most importantly, improved their nutrition, fruit and vegetable consumption, as well as increased their physical activity. So those behaviors that are super important. The virtual world, probably most people really, when they think of that, they think of goggles. And that's fantastic. But we are focusing on bringing this to the workplace and through healthcare plans via a tablet. So it doesn't require the costly goggles, and you can do it anywhere, anytime. So basically, you go into the virtual world and you've got a coach. You get some content, learn some information, you practice it in the virtual world, watching yourself. And then, as I said, it builds that self-confidence, self-efficacy, so you start to manage and create these behaviors in real life. So you really, you don't spend a lot of time. You're out in the virtual world, maybe 10 minutes in the morning, maybe in the afternoon, in the evening, and it pops up and gives you reminders. And so perhaps you're trying to, you know, manage your stress through healthier habits and rituals or lose weight. And 9 o'clock is that bewitching hour where you just want ice cream or you just want, you know, some wine to unwind. But you're really focused on trying to make these behavior changes. You can meet one of your friends or cohort members in the virtual world at 9 o'clock at night and go for a walk along this beautiful beach set in Hawaii and surf that urge. There's voice chat and text chat, so you can really have that connection. And you're virtually there, but you're able to connect just as if you were with that person, which is really important and can help overcome, you know, a lot of those challenges of going back to your old habits. So I think that that's one of the really cool and unique attributes of this new technology. And so far, there hasn't been much work using virtual world for prevention and well-being. So it's a really unique opportunity to take all of this, you know, fourth industrial revolution technology and start to try and continue and solve what has been unsolvable.
Yeah. Well, I think that's fascinating. Frankly, I'm sort of surprised that it's been super effective. It doesn't necessarily seem, just as I'm hearing it, that would have this dramatic impact. What do you attribute that to?
Well, in the research, it shows it's really about that Proteus effect. And as if you think about, you know, self-efficacy and the cognitive theory, social cognitive theory, really people as they build up their self-confidence and self-efficacy, they start to believe they can do it. So it really taps into that, and using the Proteus effect to make it really, really sticky. And the other point, though, that I want to make in terms of overall well-being is how important it is to focus on overall well-being. You know, I gave some examples on research with the weight loss. We're working on adding components in this virtual world to focus on mental well-being and emotional well-being, right? We are probably at any time right now very stressed, very anxious. You know, burnout is at an all-time high. And how do we, you know, move beyond just physical well-being to the psychological well-being? And to your point, you know, the focus on the financial well-being and how that plays a role in our stress, anxiety, and overwhelm. And so as we build out this world, we're starting to add different islands, so to speak. It's all set in Hawaii, so it can be very beautiful.
Nice.
And you've got an island where you can go focus on any of those components of well-being. But I think the one point I also want to make is, you know, for organizations, a lot of time they are just focusing on, oh, okay, I want to put a well-being program in place to save on healthcare costs. And, you know, that's just one component. And the important thing is, you know, improving bottom line performance by changing individual employee lives absolutely can work. But for the past, you know, decades, well-being programs just have not typically been a material business driver, because companies naturally doubt the impact of this kind of culture-based investment. So when an organization starts thinking about this, there are three very critical things. And this is where a lot of organizations kind of fall down. They don't really understand their business case. Like, why are they doing this? And so stopping this and think, am I doing this to recruit and retain top talent? Am I doing this to prevent, avoid, manage healthcare conditions and costs? Or am I doing this to truly inspire my people to be their best and create this great place to work? And, you know, honestly, the organizations that have really, really transformed their culture, they address all three of those. Versus the organizations that are just trying to put a well-being program in place to manage healthcare costs. Probably the second most important thing for organizations to think about is they have to ground the program in strategy. I can't tell you how many organizations I've worked with that they just throw spaghetti against the wall. It's just a bunch of tactics, and it's not strategic. So when I say ground the program in a strategy, you know, truly analyzing the data and creating a strategy, socializing it, role modeling. I just, you know, I'm in this PhD program in this leadership class where, you know, learning about the last 5 decades on transformational leadership. And there's finally some really fascinating research just in 2017 to 2019 on the transformational leader that really can make an impact on well-being and role modeling, and actually how their care for their own well-being parlays into their care and role modeling for their followers, their team. Also, you know, making sure that it's communicated and marketed effectively, and you've got quality initiatives, and you start to truly create those conditions and cultural norms. And then probably the third point is, you know, a lot of times It's important for an organization to stay focused on their core competency, right? And so there are so many fantastic consultants, fantastic, you know, technology platforms, and a lot of times they can help with, you know, avoiding very costly missteps. Oftentimes it's really important to understand that some of these, you know, groups, mine in particular, you know, we can share solutions. We can manage the program or we can train the staff. But a lot of times, you know, it gets delegated to just HR, which is often, you know, a lot of compliance-based programs and not transformational. And it really has to start with the top and cascade down through the C-suite to the managers and to the employees, and actually inclusion of the employees.
Yeah, all that makes perfect sense. I have to imagine that there are so many things that are stopping organizations from successfully and effectively doing this, just from time and resources, knowledge and understanding. Does an organization have to be fairly established to be really thinking about a legitimately impactful program, or can any organization do it?
Oh, any organization can do it. Absolutely. And it really, if you think about the culture of the organization, and if you even think about how people are starting to make decisions on, you know, choosing to work with an organization that they believe in the vision and the mission and the values, right? They start to want to work for a company that actually cares about them as a human being. And to your point, you know, there are some really common ways to prevent costly false starts or missteps, so to speak. Like I said, you know, just thinking about this as a tactical program is probably the biggest trip. You really have to think about this as creating an ethos, a way of being, right? And creating that strategy so you have a vision and mission and goal, and you're truly understanding the needs and interests of your people. And then you're starting to get that alignment. And when you see discord, right, the lack of visible role modeling, you course correct. Or if you've got an unengaged middle management, you know, that doesn't think that this is part of their job. No, it's all part of a job. We're human beings, and it's no longer, you know, check your personal life at the door and come to work. We don't live in that kind of world anymore. Our personal and professional worlds are completely melding. And so giving your employees that opportunity to be human, get help when they need, talking to them and understanding if they're on the precipice of burnout, what can be done to help them, you know, recuperate and rest and recover, and starting to help educate employees and actually everybody within the organization. How do you start to build positive rituals that can give you more energy, that can help you think clearly, that can help you manage your emotions, that can help you really achieve your full potential? Instead of, you know, it being a push, like I have to do this, creating those rituals that you look forward to that are almost part of the collective team. So it's just, you know, the way business is done that becomes a pull.
Do you wake up every day super excited to dig into this work?
You can tell, but yeah, it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I was like, oh, I get to talk about, you know, yes, the most favorite thing that I live and I teach and I work. And it's really interesting, George. So, you know, I have a big why, and I think this is important too for an organization to think about if they're deploying and starting to think about creating this culture of well-being, is why are they doing it? You know, and going to the why. But more importantly, each individual has to find their why. What is it that's driving them to do it? When I look back on my career, you know, my dad was a neurosurgeon and I always wanted to be like him. There were 5 kids and nobody went into medical school. So I was like, oh, I'm his last chance. I'm his last hope. And I did pre-med and I struggled. I really struggled. It was so hard for me. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, he died. He worked so hard saving everybody else's life that he didn't exercise, he didn't eat right, he didn't manage his stress. And it totally opened my eyes, and I realized I wanted to help people thrive and avoid that. So people didn't have to lose their husband, their father, their son at an early age, or you know, mother or sister or daughter. And so that inspired me to go into this work for prevention. And I realized the way I could make the biggest impact was going into organizations and, you know, changing lives. Because if I could change these lives, that could not only impact them, their family, which then impacts their community, it can also impact, you know, the organization, improve performance, improve productivity, improve engagement, improve recruitment and retention, all of those things that companies are striving for. And it really can come down to caring for your people.
Amen. I love it. Well, Colleen, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I think I would, my tip would be, you know, think about what your why is and think about creating just one small ritual you could build into your day that would help you feel more energized, more calm, more clear-headed. Think about what would help you thrive and just start to build in one small ritual you could do every day to start making that difference.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Colleen, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place to connect with me is LinkedIn, Colleen Riley. And I love to connect with anybody, share more of the work I'm doing, and whether it's consulting or learning more about this virtual world technology. Or they can follow me. I post a monthly article on Forbes.com, and they can read about some of the things that I'm working on and interested in.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Colleen your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. You can find her on LinkedIn. I will list that in the notes of the show, as well as her monthly piece in Forbes.com. Thank you again, Colleen.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. All right. Have a great, wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
You as well. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.